Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go to the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital in Newmarket, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group, where Jane Pickett, our resident vet, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Jane.
Good afternoon, Patricia.
And you are very welcome. Let me get straight into questions. This was one actually that came in last week, the week before, and I didn't get around to it, and I promised the listener I would. They're having a problem with two male Jack Russells. Now, they're old enough dogs, a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. Always got on like a house on fire. They always slept together, for example, in one kennel. But lately, happens around 10 o'clock every night as they're settling down for the night, one dog is kicking the other dog out of the kennel, won't leave him back in. The fella that's outside then is barking to get back in and it can go on all night. The neighbours are starting to complain. So wondering any remedy for this and why would it suddenly happen?
Okay, this is a really interesting one. So if we have an environment where we have two dogs, you know, there's always going to be a little bit of a dynamic between them. It's like humans. We all have different personalities. We have different ways of getting on. And the same goes for dogs. If it was a case that it was younger dogs, I'd be saying, well, you know, is there a bit of a dominance issue here? Is somebody a little bit more dominant and the other a little bit more submissive? And, going down the route of castration tactically in that situation can help to settle down the power dynamic, but that's something you'd want to discuss with the vet in your own particular situation. But that doesn't sound like the case here. It sounds like they're older dogs, so this is a well kind of a well-formed relationship. I would wonder if for some reason one of the dogs is maybe a little bit more either uncomfortable and maybe needs a bit more space to stretch out when he's sleeping at night than he was before. I suppose, you know, there's a number of things that could be going on here, and I'm not saying for definite it's that, but that would be the first thing that comes to mind. Well, you know, do we have an older pet that might have some slightly creaky, achy joints where they would have comfortably kind of curled up and slept with another dog before? Are they needing a bit more space and comfort to stretch out now than they did before, and they're kind of barking and kicking the other little dog out? That's a possibility. What I would say is, though, you know, if this dynamic between the two of them has changed and nothing obviously outwardly has changed that you can kind of know of when you're kind of assessing the situation yourself in your own home, I would say, you know, it might be best to try and facilitate it. If for one reason or another, one dog now feels that they need a bit of space in the evenings, then, you know, if it's possible, I suppose, space-wise, financially, to give them a second kennel.
Yeah. So yeah, because it's very annoying, and like, you can understand why the neighbours are complaining. There's nothing worse than a dog barking. So maybe the second kennel might be the solution. Good luck with that. Mm-hmm. Dennis, one of our listeners who's listening listening in the UK in Oxford, has been on. He's got a Springer Spaniel. It's a 1 year old, and he recently vomited up a stone. And apologies to anybody having food at the moment. There was yellow vomit with it. Now he seems okay since, but Dennis is wondering: is any cause for concern?
Okay, so vomiting up a stone is a bit of a cause for concern, because I suppose eating things that they're not meant to, and the biggies that we normally see in clinic are stones, gravel, sticks, toys, objects from the house, that's always a cause for concern, because, you know, that pet might have vomited up whatever it ate, that stone, and that might be the end of it. It may have been the first and last time they'll ever do it, who knows, in which case, as long as they seem otherwise really well in themselves, full of the joys of life and are continuing to eat now and there's been no further vomiting, it may be okay. What I will say though is if they seem in any way not okay in themselves, or if they're not eating or continuing to vomit, or they just don't look quite right, I'd say definitely warrants a visit to the vet, because it could be that they might have vomited up one stone, but there may be many in there. So it is really something that I would say it depends on the situation. It depends on how your pet is in themselves. I would say if in any doubt, pop them to your vet. But if they seem otherwise well, you may be able to keep an eye on them. But one thing I would say is if they're eating stones or eating objects and things they shouldn't do, the likelihood is this may not be the first time they've done it. And quite often we may have pets in for other things, and we'll incidentally find objects that may have been in the stomach for quite a while in there, sometimes causing kind of low-grade chronic issues. So, you know, keep it an is eye a bit of concern. So I would say, keep an eye on it, but make sure they don't get access to any other stones in future if you can.
Okay, pet advice, please. I'm an 11-month-old Cocker Spaniel whose food will be changing shortly. He's moving over to adult food. Can Jane recommend a specific brand or protein content for my dog? He does suffer from itching, and I'm wondering, is there any good brand that Jane would recommend?
Okay. So it really depends on what's available in your locality. And I personally would say the best person to speak to about this is your own local vet and your own local vet nursing team, because they will know what's available local to you, but also they'll know your own pet's background history. I think it's kind of interesting that they're younger, but they suffer from itching. So kind of 10, 11 months is still quite young to have a dog appear with itching. So it may be that they might be able to discuss with you, well, is there something in the background not food related that might be causing the itching, or would a food help with that? So I think that's maybe a slightly separate issue that I think is worth speaking to the vet about, because obviously young in their life, we want to, you know, give them the best shot at having really comfortable, healthy skin long term. So if we're getting little kind of niggles of skin issues and itching this early on, it's really important to tackle that before it becomes a bigger problem later on in life. As regards the food itself, good quality food, you tend to get what you pay for. And I'm aware, like, that the economic climate means that we're not all able to spend a lot of money on our dog's food, and that's okay. That's absolutely fine. What I will say in that situation is even more vital to speak to your vet and vet nurse, because they'll be able to guide you given your financial situation, or, you know, if you have kind of an open financial mind to what you put into the dog food, then they'll be able to help you with that and find something that's suitable and fits your budget. As regards protein content, this is something that's often bandied around. You know, some diets are really high protein and people go looking for high protein. I would say you want a balance. You don't want high or low protein. You want a good balanced diet, and your vet will be able to recommend that depending on the breed and your, I suppose, the size of your dog. As regards specific brands, I wouldn't like to say, because there's plenty out there. But, you know, just make sure it's appropriately tested. So the good ones, I suppose, there is a thing called AFCO testing. There is a European equivalent as well. And that just means that food has been tested in, you know, dogs over their life stage to ensure that they grow a good, healthy skeleton and they maintain a good body weight and lean muscle mass over time. So have a chat to your vet about that. And I'm sure they'll be able to lead you in the right direction.
OK, Tina has a cat who keeps getting reoccurring fleas. I'm doing everything to get rid of them. Any tips, please?
Oh, my heart goes out to you. Having fleas in the house is really a massive heartache. So, you know, you must have the patience of a saint here. I would question if you're repeatedly getting fleas, check what product you're using and check how you're applying it. So just double check that you're getting a good reputable product, either coming from your vet or a pharmacist, because they tend to have the kind of stronger, safer ingredients in them. So check the product you're giving and then check how often you're meant to be giving it. Sometimes that's on the packet. Sometimes it's based on your pet's risk. So have a chat to your vet about that, about how often you should be doing it and also how you should be applying it. So some flea treatments are tablet form, that's simple enough. Some are spot-ons, and it's really important if it's a spot-on to make sure it goes on the back of the neck where the pet can't access it to lick it off, but that you're putting it on the skin directly, that it's not sitting on the hair above the skin, because that means it won't be soaking in. The other thing is environmental management. Everything you can safely put on for a hot boil wash that your pet would have contact with, do, because they'll be killing the eggs that the fleas have laid in the environment, and it's probably likely you'll need to use an environmental flea spray. Usually you can get those from the vets as well, so that you can spray the areas. The big hot spots tend to be the corners of rooms, edges of carpets, skirting boards. They really do hide everywhere, these little eggs that the fleas live, so you just get waves of fleas hatching out and causing an issue. So there's a few things to think about there. Have a chat with your vet. Just double check your product interval, how it's applied, and get some environmental management going. But best of luck, you'll get there.
Okay, Helen wants to know, is it possible to get an antibiotic cream that you can buy over the counter? She's got a cat with a scratch that appears to be infected. Can you just purchase antibiotic cream?
No, unfortunately you can't. And there's a number of reasons for that. And the main one really is your pet's safety. So antibiotics are something that are prescription only, both in a human and veterinary medicine. And that's important because we need to make sure that the antibiotics we do have don't get overused and create resistance, because we want to have antibiotics in our arsenal to treat disease where it's needed in 10 and 20 years time. And if we're not careful, that won't be the case. So it's really important as well for the safety of your pet, because if there was a situation where, you know, you had a cut or a situation didn't need an antibiotic, or even a situation where an antibiotic might be exactly the wrong thing to do and it might need alternative treatment, then we're kind of overusing antibiotics, but also it may not be safe for our pet. So really, if you have a pet that has a cut or a wound that looks like it's infected, you really need to visit the vet, because things are sometimes not as simple as they appear on the surface, and your vet will be the best person to assess the damage, assess the extent of infection, whether it needs antibiotics, and then most importantly, be able to prescribe you the best fit antibiotic that's safe for your pet, most likely to be effective in that situation. So I wouldn't get something over the counter. We shouldn't legally be able to get antibiotics over the counter. So speak to your vet.
Okay, listen, we'll leave it there. Thank you for that. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next Thursday.
You too.
Thanks you very much, Jane. That's Jane Pickett, the Islandwood Veterinary Hospital in Newmarket, part of the Mill Street Veterinary Group.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.